My experience with aging out of care, you're saying it's been a bit rough. Like,
I was in a shelter for a long time. I slept at Love Park. I got abused while I was out here on the streets.
Yeah, I'm scared, emotional, depressed, you know, because I don't have no family, so it's like I don't have nowhere to go.
My birthday is October 23rd. They showed up at my house October 20th and asked me, well, what are you going to do? Where are you going to go? Do you have money? Do you have a job? And that was my plan for aging out 3 days beforehand.
I wasn't financially stable to get out of care yet, but they were pushing me to get out of care.
If they don't give you the proper tools, then what do you have to work with when you go out there? Nothing. I didn't have the proper tools, so when I went out there, I was working with a hammer and I needed a drill. I needed a saw.
I don't know anybody, really, that wasn't homeless at one point from aging out of care.
Hello and welcome to Pursuing Justice, a podcast from Juvenile Law Center. I'm Yoe Shaw. Each episode, we spotlight pressing issues in the child welfare and justice systems and bring you true stories from the youth who deal with them. Today, we hear from youth aging out of foster care and look at some of the special challenges they face. Every year, more than 29,000 youth ages 18 to 21 become ineligible to receive benefits and services because of their age. When they leave the system, they leave without finding a family or permanent home. Without a safety net to fall back on, many of these young people struggle with housing, food, and education. Research shows that those who age out of care are more likely than their peers to end up in jail, homeless, or pregnant. They're also less likely to find jobs or go to college.
And those are our most kind of vulnerable and less prepared kids that they're expected to kind of be way ahead of the kids who are probably in the most privileged situations.
Jenny Pokempner is a supervising attorney at Juvenile Law Center. For the past 9 years, she's worked on issues related to older youth in the foster care system.
I think the research that has been coming out in the last probably 10 years or so has been showing that that period when people transition to adulthood and become kind of independent in the sense of establishing their careers, establishing an independent source of housing, place to live apart from their family, has gotten longer for the population in general, but that on average it's about 24 for women and 26 for men.
And that's for the average person, most likely with family support. It's almost no surprise, then, that youth aging out of care at 18 are more likely to have poor outcomes.
States and counties are starting to see that not only is it better practice and, you know, more just and appropriate to support these kids for a longer period of time, but that when they don't, there are significant fiscal consequences because they're paying for it in terms of increased shelter costs, increased prison costs, more individuals on public assistance.
Currently, only a handful of states allow kids, in certain circumstances, to stay in care past 18 until 21. Even so, there are many youth who are eligible to stay in care, but don't.
I found myself out. They gave me a few days to think it over. Well, after the third day, I was going to keep it and stay in.
Farron grew up in Georgia, where he's gone through 13 different group homes, foster homes, and residential treatment facilities since the age of six. When he turned 18, he had the opportunity to stay in care, but chose to sign himself out.
It just sparked. I said, you know what? This is not the life I want. I don't want to be in the system. I don't care if I'm homeless. I just want out.
Like many other youth who grow up in care, Farron had some negative experiences with the child welfare system, ranging from the less serious.
Say, for instance, we will all take a trip to Target. Well, Target's a pretty nice store, but if you were one of the sons of that parent, they got all the nice clothes, and then you were taken to Goodwill or Salvation Army.
All the way to the extremely traumatic.
But when you're being sexually abused, you look at your perpetrators and you're really scared of them. So you don't want to do nothing that will let them hurt you again.
At a second foster home, Farron was sexually abused by his foster parent. This went on for 2 years until he was 10.
In Atlanta, you know, my family members shopped a certain Kmart where he used to stay. Well, one day I walked into my biological grandmother and aunt. So they saw me. My grandmother, she's very vulnerable. She's one of those grandmas that thinks everything okay as long as I have a roof over my head. But my auntie, She's more thoughtful. She said something to the extent of, Farron, you don't look like you're okay with him. But I just looked at her and I couldn't say anything because I knew it was true, but he was right there.
Farron eventually did say something to a lady in church who asked him about the bruises on his face. Later, he found out she was a caseworker.
Some kids have had such bad experiences in the foster care system.
Jenny Pokepner.
That even if they need continued help, and even if they know they don't have a plan for when they leave the system, they just dislike the system so much they're willing to leave it because all they're thinking about is what they want to leave, not what they might be going to or not going to.
Farron went straight into homelessness and was in and out of men's shelters for some time. Luckily, he's doing okay now. He's in a supportive housing program for homeless youth and finishing up his last year of high school while working at a deli. He's also been able to find his true passion in life.
Yes, I have a dog and two cats. Pets are just like humans. They've been abused. They've been abandoned. They've been probably through some troubled things. And I can't relate to people, humans, better than I can relate to animals. Animals help me know that everything's okay. They're always going to be happy. They're always going to be there.
Even when youth do choose to stay in care until 21, there are still major challenges. Take Grace, who's trying as hard as she can to succeed.
I love school. And I want to say my favorite subject is microbiology right now because it's the hardest one and it's the one I need most help. And every time I learn something new, it's more exciting.
Grace was a member of the National Honor Society in high school and now attends LaSalle University. She came into the child welfare system 3 years ago when her parents kicked her out of the house. When she's not studying for class, she indulges in her other great love.
My daughter's name is Angela Clark and she's 3. She's a pretty happy child. She talks a lot. She's the reason why I do everything I do. She motivates me to be a stronger person and gives me the will and power to do more for us.
Next year, when she turns 21, Grace will age out of care, and she's worried about what will happen next.
I don't have a plan right now because I'm in school, and my caseworkers told me to get a job and try to save up, but that's really hard trying to work and be a full-time student and a mom. And when I did try it, my grades was getting really bad, so I had to drop one of the other. So right now, I'm not able to work. So that's where I panic because I'm like, when am I going to be able to save enough money to take care of myself?
Just focus on what you got to do. Don't worry about nobody else. Nobody else is going to do nothing for you. Even when you're here, just go and show them extra initiative to go do it yourself because life isn't given to you.
That's Antonio. He grew up in the child welfare system in Philadelphia. And like Farron and Grace, he's shown incredible resilience and courage to get to where he is today.
My age out on November the 2nd, so 2010. So, I mean, I'm just prepared for the day. I'm in a good position right now to age out and have a lot of financial stability where I can provide for my own and do this and do that. So I'm going to be happy, but I'm also going to be sad that even though I went through all these problems and anger management and pills and rules, group homes, all this and that, I can honestly say like I'm better than what I was when I was 16. I didn't envision myself working 3 jobs, going to school and doing that. In the summertime, I didn't envision myself having my own house.
For many youth who age out of care, hardship is what makes you stronger. Survival of the fittest. States now have the opportunity to receive federal support for providing care past 18. Beginning this year, a federal law called Fostering Connections to Success and Increasing Adoptions Act allows states to share the cost of extending care with the federal government. To find out more about the law and what policymakers can do to provide more support for youth aging out of care, you can go to our website at www.jlc.org. Special thanks to Farron, Grace, and Antonio, who are all members of Youth Fostering Change, one of Juvenile Law Center's youth engagement programs, where they work to make things better for the thousands of others who have stories just like theirs. To hear more of those stories, check out the short video they made on our website. Pursuing Justice is produced by Juvenile Law Center, a public interest law firm dedicated to advancing the rights and well-being of children in jeopardy. Consider supporting our work and giving to Juvenile Law Center by going to the support page on our website. Stay tuned for our winter series on the Luzerne County Kids for Cash scandal. And remember, you can find us on iTunes now. Thanks for listening.